Kia ora, ko Craig McCullough-Kahau, ane te pūrongo tō rangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. 170 days without community transmission, 477 since the last level 4. This week, New Zealand resets the clock.
RNZ News at 3. Good afternoon, I'm Marama Tipole. A positive case of COVID-19 has been detected in the community in Auckland. The Health Ministry says no link has yet been established between the new case and the border or managed isolation.
Health officials were notified of the case on Tuesday, just after midday. The public were told at 2:30. And then the nervous wait. The individual was interviewed, cabinet ministers were briefed. And shortly after 6, Jacinda Ardern resumed her spot behind the prime ministerial podium to address the nation.
I want to assure New Zealand that we have planned for this eventuality and that we will now be putting in place that plan to contain and stamp out COVID-19 once again. Going hard and early has worked for us before. While we know that Delta is a more dangerous enemy to combat, the same actions that overcame the virus last year can be applied to beat it again.
The playbook was simple, a well-worn mantra: go hard, go early. And in this new world where the highly infectious Delta strain is running rampant, hard means level 4, the toughest restrictions, a nationwide lockdown.
We have made decisions on the basis that it is better to start high and go down levels rather than start too low, not contain the virus, and see it move quickly. We've seen the dire consequences of taking too long to act in other countries, not least our neighbours. Just as we successfully stayed home and saved lives last year, I'm asking the team of 5 million to unite once more to defeat what is likely to be this more dangerous and transmissible variant of the virus.
Another mantra: stay home, save lives. By now, Kiwis seem to know the rules. But a quick reminder, the lockdown means people can leave their house only to collect groceries, exercise nearby, get emergency healthcare, a COVID-19 test, or a vaccine. Schools are closed, as are most workplaces. Only essential workers, like supermarket staff, can go into their work premises. And in 2021, Level 4 comes with an extra layer of protection. Quite literally, mask use in many places is now mandatory.
Simply put, at Level 4, if you're in a place that is allowed to be open to provide services to people or transport, you must wear a mask.
The swift and severe action is what has distinguished New Zealand's COVID-19 response from much of the world. Indeed, international media zeroed in on that single case.
Turning to some breaking news, New Zealand is going into a strict lockdown after a single case of coronavirus was found in the community.
It's after the country detected its first locally transmitted case of coronavirus for 6 months.
One case of COVID, a 58-year-old man, one case of COVID, and she's locking down the whole country, including both islands. I mean, work that one out.
But back home, by and large, the public had worked it out. What had worked before could work again.
You just have to look at what's happened in Australia, particularly Sydney. They didn't go hard enough.
I don't think you want it getting out in the community, getting it out spread. You look what's happened in Sydney.
You don't want to end up like Australia.
Particularly with the variant that we're talking about, it looks very contagious overseas.
We have done it before, so we can do it again.
If we go for short and sharp and hopefully short, we'll knock it on the head.
The national mood was reflected in the political landscape too, with broad consensus. The opposition National Party threw its full-throated endorsement behind the lockdown. No quibbling from its leader, Judith Collins.
Well, I don't think there's any alternative. We have a largely unvaccinated population. The government has not been able to tell yet where this has come through, clearly through the border in some place. There's so much uncertainty, and we know that this spreads extremely quickly, so obviously it's the only thing to do.
As the days rolled on, that became only more apparent. Genome testing quickly confirmed the virus was the Delta strain, the same variant spreading in the Australian state of New South Wales. One case became 5, which became 7, 10, then 20. Tick, tick, ticking up. The close contacts in turn were ballooning into the thousands, the locations of interest more than 150, and those locations were less than ideal. Nightclubs, restaurants, a university, a church, all busy, populated venues. Perfect conditions for the infection to spread. Many of the initial cases were young people in their 20s with active social lives. One, a nurse at Auckland Hospital. Another, a teacher at one of the country's largest secondary schools, Avondale College. It all painted a worrying picture for the Director General of Health, Ashley Bloomfield.
Broadly speaking, two different modelling exercises have suggested picking up a case like this, which isn't directly linked to the border, and putting in a number of other assumptions, there could be between 50 and 120. So that's just giving people the sense of the scale here, and that is specifically with the Delta variant considered in there. Obviously, our job now is to find any and every case and then do that contact tracing. Everybody's job is to sit tight and stay in their bubble.
The lockdown is designed to stop further transmission, to starve the virus of the contact it needs to spread downstream. But authorities are also interested in what's happened upstream. That is, how long the virus was circulating before being picked up. Key to that question is identifying when and how the virus jumped the ditch from Australia to New Zealand in the first place. Officials examined multiple lines of inquiry. By Thursday, they'd zeroed in on the most likely suspect, a so-called patient zero.
Today, we believe we have uncovered the piece of the puzzle we were looking for.
That missing piece, a Kiwi traveller recently returned from Sydney, currently in Middlemore Hospital. Genomic sequencing shows they have a near identical strain of the virus as that in the community. Officials are confident.
Very, very close, and they've put it to me that they would say roughly 90%.
It's about as close as you can get.
The individual arrived on August the 7th, a Saturday, and went into managed isolation at the Crown Plaza Hotel. 2 days later, they tested positive for COVID-19 and were shifted to the Jet Park quarantine facility. On the 16th, this Monday, they were shifted to hospital. Based on the timeline, officials believe the virus most likely escaped during those initial days at the Crown Plaza. While there, it also infected three others at the facility who were in the room next door.
We are chasing down every possible point at which this individual had contact with others, and just seeing if we can analyse every single element of that to see if we can find where this occurred.
That means testing and retesting all staff at both facilities, reviewing camera footage and key card information to try uncover how this individual passed on the virus to someone else. For now, the search for that outstanding link continues. But regardless, confirmation of a start date is significant.
It means now we can be fairly certain how and when the virus entered the country. And that based on timelines, there are minimal, possibly only one or maybe two missing links between this returnee and cases in our current outbreak.
An array of experts applauded the new information, but all concluded it was not enough to ease restrictions. Scientists and modellers lining up to say the lockdown must continue.
It's too early to say at the moment that other parts of the country are in the clear. The precautionary approach which we need to take with this Delta variant would be to extend the lockdown for the whole country.
We need to see what happens over the next, you know, 3 or 4 days in terms of the number of cases and the distribution of those cases.
We just don't have enough information yet on the boundaries of this outbreak. And one key bit of information is whether infected people actually, or people got infected and then left Auckland.
And Friday brought confirmation that was indeed the case. The virus had escaped Auckland's borders and made its way to the capital. The total number of cases linked to the outbreak had jumped to 31. Three of them were in Wellington.
All in all, that tells us we need to continue to be cautious and that we need more time before we have the complete picture. We need to change our settings. So on that basis, the Director General of Health has recommended and Cabinet has agreed to keep all of New Zealand at level 4 until 11:59pm on Tuesday, August 24, with a Cabinet meeting on Monday for us to determine the next steps thereafter.
While the decision came as little surprise, one wonders for how long the public support will hold, particularly further afield in the South Island. Patience is certainly fraying in other areas, and political consensus slipping. The long lines of cars with people waiting to be tested hides a simmering frustration, many queuing for hours, only to be turned away at the end of the day.
Not long to go now, another 2 more hours and we should be there for testing.
There's been quite a few people that have dropped out of the queue. And I would guess that that's probably because of toilet breaks. There's nowhere to go.
National's COVID-19 response spokesperson Chris Bishop says the government has had months to devise a better way of prioritising people by now.
I had an email last night from someone who got a ping at 9:30 a.m. saying, been at a location of interest. Please go and get tested immediately and then self-isolate. They did exactly the right thing. They drove straight away down to the local testing centre. They got on the queue at 9:42. At 7:15, the testing centre closed and they hadn't been tested. So they were there all day. And these are people who are required by law to get a test. So we need a better way of prioritising people who are required to get a test versus those people who have just got a sniffle and, you know, who are doing the right thing. Don't get me wrong, they are doing the right thing by getting a test, but you would say they're obviously of lesser importance than people who have been in a location of interest.
Many people have been doing the right thing and have encountered long wait times at our testing stations. We are incredibly grateful for your patience. We are standing up extra testing today and this weekend to ensure all those who need to be tested are.
It's wonderful that everyone is coming and being tested, and it's very important, and I want to thank people for their patience while the teams work as fast as they can.
The outbreak has refocused attention on New Zealand's vaccination rates too, and raised the question as to whether the lockdown could have been avoided if more people had had the jab.
We are the slowest in the developed world, and it gives me no pleasure saying that. It's just the simple facts. We were slow to sign the vaccine contracts, slow to approve them, slow to order them, and now we are where we are. So I think what we need to do now is just get as many jabs into arms as possible.
New Zealand has lagged well behind much of the world in its vaccination campaign. Early on, the government chose to proceed with a Pfizer-only strategy, leaving it beholden to the pharmaceutical company's delivery schedule. A lack of supply meant the program could not ramp up until only recently, but the Prime Minister is pushing back on that criticism.
Even some of those countries that have some of the highest vaccination rates in the world are still seeing cases of the Delta variant. So yes, vaccinations make a difference to those hospitalisations and deaths, but it is not the entire answer.
Even with high vaccination rates, we would still need to have a range of public health measures in place. And while we continue to pursue an elimination strategy, where we do everything we can to keep it out, if it does come in the community, our approach is to, of course, go hard to stamp.
That doesn't change the fact that if a greater proportion of the population was vaccinated, the virus could have moved more slowly, infected fewer people, and reduced the time required under restrictions. The latest research suggests the vaccine could reduce the chance of passing the virus on by 30%.
We always said in the first half of the year that was the period at which we were preparing to ramp up, but the supply, yes, was going to be the constraint. We are in a very different position now. We are now in possession of the supply we need to ramp up. 40% of our eligible population now has a first dose or is fully vaccinated. And we want to see that continue to grow. Supply is no longer our issue. It's a matter of bringing people through.
The vaccination campaign was halted for 24 hours to allow clinics time to switch to a more physically distanced level 4 approach. On Wednesday, the program went live for all those aged 40 plus. On Thursday, it was announced those as young as 12 could also now join the queue. They could tag along with their parents or book in separately from September 1st. Essential workers are now also being prioritised, those on the front line, supermarket workers, police officers and the like.
Our plans to vaccinate these workers starts with those who are customer-facing, who interact with the public as part of their essential work. For example, supermarket workers who may not have been eligible because of their age bands today. We're working with employers of these essential workforces to identify the individuals, and workers, you can expect to hear from your employer with extra details.
So life carries on. It's been impossible in New Zealand with the return of lockdown not to look across at Australia with some trepidation. New South Wales is grappling with its own Delta outbreak, now nearing 10,000 cases.
As the state reaches another record day of COVID cases, the Premier has this message. We need to learn to live with the Delta variant because COVID zero has become unrealistic.
The first case in Bondi popped up on June the 16th, the limo driver who'd been transporting crew of international flights. On June the 22nd, 6 days after that first case, New Zealand halted its quarantine-free travel with the state. Over the next few days, a number of regional centres around Sydney were hit with stay-at-home orders. But not till August the 14th did the entire state go into lockdown. By that point, more than 7,000 people had been infected. Even now, New South Wales' lockdown is less restrictive than New Zealand's, allowing more businesses to remain open. And it has struggled too with a seeming lack of compliance.
We want to be short and sharp rather than light and long. We've seen what happened in Sydney. We don't want that experience here. If we all comply, it lifts our chances of getting out of this earlier.
At this stage, the earliest possible exit from Level 4 looks to be the end of Tuesday, and a little longer for the Auckland region. Success will depend on public buy-in and widespread compliance. Then we must hope the lockdown restrictions are enough to stop Delta in its tracks and return New Zealand to its elimination status. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCulloch. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.